Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Now when we think about the Holy Spirit, so many different things run through people's minds. It all depends on how you grew up, right? How did you grow up? Did you grow up in a Pentecostal church, charismatic church? Did you not grow up in church? Did you grow up in a Baptist church, maybe evangelical free church, maybe a Methodist church, an Orthodox church? You're going, wow, I didn't realize there were so many churches. There are so many different churches that say so many different things. But what we're going to learn today is from what the Word of God says about who the Holy Spirit is and what He's going to do in us. And this series, honestly, as I begin studying it, it could be like a 20 million week series because it's never ending on what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, who He is, His character, His purpose, and everything. And so I'm going to start today, and I really prayed about this. And just stop for a second. If you see this little thing on the side of my neck, it is not something Pastor Dan and I had. Okay, no. I burnt myself with a curling iron. All right, so I just want to clear that up because I keep going like this. That did not happen. All right. Stupid curling irons. Okay. I don't know why randomly. This is so girls. We could talk about the Holy Spirit and curling iron burns at the same time, right? Okay. Sorry, I made you laugh. All right. So let's get into what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us today. So can we pray and then we'll step into it? Well, Lord, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us, that You would teach us who You are, that You would teach us Your ways and the intricate parts of who You want us to be, what You are in our lives, where You fit in, what You want to do, our purpose, our destiny, what it is that You have for this world and what You have for us. And so, God, I pray that You would wear me well, speak through me today, God, that let it not be my words, but let them hear Your words, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that You would speak to every table leader as they minister afterwards and they get together and they pray, God. Lord, just let Your will be done in this service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Okay, so many times I have conversations with Christians because, like I talked about, come from all different walks of life, all different styles of Christianity. I love the body of Christ because there are so many different flavors. And God knew that we were all going to be a whole bunch of different flavors of church, right? And so when you go into someone's house and it's not like your own, you know, it takes you a moment to kind of adapt, right? You're like, first thing I look for is, where's the bathroom? Just so in case something goes down, I need to know where I'm going, right? Bathroom. Next thing is do I take my shoes off in this house or do I not take my shoes off in this house? Is that anybody else's house? I have white carpet, but I'm like, leave your shoes on because one day in Jesus' name, I'm replacing this carpet. So go ahead and screw it up. I don't care. And so I don't know. Other people live different ways, right? So when we walk into a new relationship with Jesus Christ, when we step into a new life with who God is, and we say, I no longer want to be this person alone in life, squandering, trying to figure out who I am and what my purpose is. But you've been introduced to the God of heaven, right? The God of angel armies, the one who created heaven and earth. His name is Jesus. When you asked Him to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, you were introduced to God Himself. Now, God is three parts. Did you know this? He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, Jesus came to the earth for 33 years, went down to hell when He died, took the keys of sin and death, and died on the cross, bore Himself so that our sin and our shame could be washed away, and we could boldly approach the throne room of God. God in repentance. How beautiful is that picture, right? The ultimate sacrificial lamb. Then He went and He sat and He said, I have to leave you, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you one just as me. His name is the Holy Spirit, and He's your comforter, your protector, your provider. He's the one that has all answers and leads you into truth. This is the picture of what God did. Now, when you think about it, when you walk into someone's house and you become part of a new family, Have you ever married into a new family? It's kind of like an adjustment, right? Because your family eats dinner one way and their family eats dinner another way. Your family might be quiet and their family might be loud. Their family might be, or reverse. My family was crazy loud and Dan's family was crazy quiet. And the first time we had dinner together, my dad ate off Dan's plate. And he was like, your dad just ate off my plate. I'm like, oh, you're totally inducted into the family then. Like, and we all eat off each other's plates. And so you just never know, like the different families, right? When I eat with the Ross, I eat a lot more vegetables. I eat a lot more things like that. When I eat with the Cobras, we eat like custard and we eat like everything, butter and like all that kind of stuff. It is a totally different experience. It's two different Christmases for me, right? But what happens when I step into the kingdom and the family of God? You adapt, right? You learn their ways. You learn his ways. You become more like him. When I stepped in and I became Dan's wife, I no longer was my own, but we are now two in one. And so what God is saying is now that you've become a child of the Most High God, you need to understand who is your God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now that you are living in a time where the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling within you. And I would challenge you in this. Do we, as the children of God, act like and live like the Holy Spirit is in us, dwelling through us, and his power is abiding through us? Do we? You would probably say, well, not all the time, Pastor Jess. Like, I don't think I'm always, you know, remembering that the Holy Spirit is with me. Do you ever go through your day and you're like, oh, I haven't even talked to God yet today? Like, I just was on my go and I just was doing my thing. But did you know he never left you the whole day? Did you know that he's been waiting like, hey, you gonna talk to me? Hey, are we gonna have some conversation? And you see, the Holy Spirit is there in every moment of your life. And yet, there's a whole bunch of Christians walking around powerless, defeated, and running on tanks that are fully empty. But that shouldn't be. Because if he that is living in us is greater than he that is in the world, then we are not accessing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, he is working in us. Some of us live overwhelmingly sad moments too much and not good moments the rest of the time. But that seems reverse if we have Jesus, God himself, the Holy Spirit, living and dwelling inside of us. And so today, what if I told you that the Holy Spirit wants you to live a life that is full of goodness, not sadness, that your tank will be overflowing and full and flourishing instead of running on empty, that the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life and that he wants you to know him as a person, as you would a friend, as you would a husband, as you would a coworker. The Holy Spirit wants to link up with you arm in arm, link in link. He wants you to remember that he is by your side in and through the hard times and in and through the good times, that he never leaves you, that he never forsakes you, that he's your anchor, that he's your buckler, that he's your strength, and that no matter what comes your way, that he has your back. And you see, the Holy Spirit does that. So when I grew up in church, we always talked about the Holy Spirit. I grew up in this church. I grew up in this church where I literally saw healing lines and I saw people's legs grow out. I saw cancer fall off of people. I watched my parents pray things in that seemed so impossible. You're sitting in this campus right now. It was impossible when you think about it, but it happened. I watched God move. I watched God, for me, he spoke to me. He redeemed me. He pulled me out of hell and he saved my life. And so when I stepped into this adult life, and I'm on fire for the Holy Spirit because I'm like, he's real. Like this is, I had met my husband, Dan, who didn't come from a church like ours. And I met his friends. It really wasn't Dan so much. It was a lot of his friends. And they would come to my house and I was like, let's do a Bible study. Well, I didn't know people did Bible studies differently than without the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we would get to verses on Acts about speaking in tongues, or when we would talk about healing, or when I would want to lead something in the Bible study, I was told, no, you're a woman. You don't lead us. And I was like, oh, heck no. Like, get out of my house. Like, who are you? Satan, get behind me. I didn't know that these were things that the Church of God actually teaches other people. Because all I knew was the Holy Spirit. All I knew is what the word had been taught to me as a young woman. All I knew was I have power that when I lay hands on the sick, that they will recover because I carry him with me. All I knew is that when I speak in tongues, that wasn't like gone and that's not weird and that didn't just leave with the last apostle. The Holy Spirit did not leave with the last apostle, everyone. He is still on this earth, still working and moving. So that is false doctrine and you can go ahead and challenge me on that one. I won't get too into deep theology. I'll just send you to Pastor Deborah. So I was challenged in my faith with the Holy Spirit because I had to start answering for what it was they were questioning. And I was going, well, I just know him. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. This would be the conversations I would have with him. He's just a person to me. He's like a best friend. I don't know what you're looking for. You're asking me for a scripture, but I'm telling you, this is a relationship. Let me find the scripture. Let me call my mom and get the reference for you. Like, and that's what I would do. And I would get the references, and then I would, in a way, stump them. Honestly, yeah, I guess you're right. So what we're going to do in this series, I'm going to introduce you to who the Holy Spirit is. I'm going to introduce you to the depths of who he is and what he wants for you. Because I believe that we cannot live in this day and this time without the Holy Spirit moving on our behalf. There is no way that I could pastor this church without the Holy Spirit leading me every step of the way. There is no way that I could be Dan's wife without the Holy Spirit leading me every single way. There is no way that I can raise these three kids in this nasty, stinky world without the Holy Spirit leading me all the way. I need him in my every day, in my every walk, in every part of my life. And so let's dig into who he wants us to know him to be. And so I was praying, and I was like asking the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to start? Because we're actually going to go through a book, and I'm going to give you the book in a bit. It's called The God I Knew by Robert Morris. We're not going to be able to touch every chapter, but we are going to dig through some of them. And I loved the first chapter he started with because it paints the soft and beautiful picture of who God is and how he loves us and how he comes after us and how he's relentless to make sure that we as his children have everything we need to live here on this earth. Isn't that a good encouraging word for the day? That he has not left us alone in this, but he's with us. So let's learn the different parts of the Holy Spirit in this series. Who is God, the Holy Spirit? First, let's start with he is our helper. Woo, thank you, Jesus. John 14:15-18. I'm going to use the Amplified version because we're women and we like a lot of words, okay? And it says, if you really love me, ooh, what? Not just a little love me? Have you ever met people where you're like, they little love me, but you really love me because you thought outside of the box for me and you went out of your way for me, right? This is what God is saying. If you really love me, daughter, you will keep and obey my commandments. We could preach a whole series on that one, but we will skip over it for now. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, and an assessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't the world receive him? Because they don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But you, when you said yes to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit that filled you and is working through you. So that means that when you read the word, these things can come alive at you and you can go, oh, I get it. This is me it's talking about. The world doesn't know what God is saying, but I do. The world doesn't see the faith in this, but I can see the faith in this. The world doesn't see the bigger picture, but God's showing me the bigger picture. You see, you have the upper advantage to everyone else around the world that is not God's child. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, the one whom the world cannot receive and take it to heart because it does not see him or know him. But you, say, but I, know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. Ooh, isn't that good? Ooh, that's so good. I will not leave you as an orphan, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. It's Jesus' promise he's coming back for us, guys. But until that day comes, he has left us the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I love this word. It's a word that you probably, through all these scriptures, you would probably not pick out. But when you go back to verse 16, it says, for he will give you another helper. The word another, what is it referring to? Here's Jesus talking, and he said, I'm giving you another helper. The word is allos, A-L-L-O-S, in the Greek, and it means one besides me, which Jesus is saying, in addition to me, but one just like me, the remaining of one of two. This seems like, what? That is like the weirdest wording, right? But if you think about it, they're one, And they're three in one. And he's saying, I'm leaving you part of me. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving this part. I have to go so that he can work and do what he needs to do. I have fulfilled my purpose on this earth. And now he is going to be with you the whole way through. Isn't that good news? That he's giving us another, that when he went and sat at the right hand of God, he didn't just leave us out there on our own. He didn't leave us powerless and broken and busted and disgusted. But the helper has come along to be alongside of us. I think us as women can understand this more than men can, right? Because what are we as women? We're the helpmate, right? I always tell my husband, if I die, I know you have to get remarried. I'm not happy about it, but you need help. If you die, there ain't no way I'm getting remarried because there's no one as good as you. And that is just the reality of it. We are the helpmate to our husbands, right? And I honestly feel that I am the helpmate to these boys that I am raising until their wives come along and I will be like, here you go. We are the helpmate. So we get this. We understand the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love the fact that it says he's a comforter. A mama's a good comforter, right? Today when Titus was screaming and my hands were full of stuff and I couldn't run to him right away, I'm telling Dan, go and hug him. He needs a hug right now. He's freaking out. You got to rub him and calm him down. He's looking at me like, knock it off, Titus. Just stop. Like, they're just not comforting in the way we are, you know? And it just, I could just see that Titus is frustrated with Dan's approach to trying to comfort him because we understand this. So I believe that when we learn about the Holy Spirit, we're going to learn about a piece of who we are as women. I believe that we're going to see a side to us in the Godhead that we're going, oh, I relate, I connect. So we're the helper. See, I love how Jesus knew that he had to teach us about the Holy Spirit. Isn't that kind of cool that Jesus is teaching us about himself, about the Holy Spirit? I love it. He is so gracious, and he knows that we as human will have a lot of questions about the Spirit. The world we live in, I went to go try and see a movie with my husband the other day. Good luck. It's all crap. And as we're like, horror movie. And I'm like, horrible. The world is so infatuated with spiritual things. But the wrong side, guys. There's a wrong story. Do not feed your spirit man with that crap. And then my daughter came home that night, and she's telling me about a friend of hers who is a PK, and they were talking about how they wanted to go see this scary movie, and I'm like, they're a PK, and they're going to see a scary movie? Like, oh, I'm not going to judge the parents, but okay. Because what are we doing? What are we allowing into our spirit man's? What are we not guarding our minds and our hearts? We are not just anybody. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be careful what we put in our eye gate, what we put into our hearts, what we allow ourselves to be enticed by. Maybe you like the feeling of that scary movie, the intensity of it. But what is it actually doing? It's opening the door to the spiritual realm that you don't want to play with. Let me tell you, don't open doors that you don't want to play in. You wonder why things are going crazy moving around your house. Well, I don't know. What have you been watching? That's a whole nother one my mom could teach on too, angels and demons. Okay. And I love how Jesus teaches us that the Holy Spirit is so gracious that he knows we have a lot of questions. So he taught his disciples and he recorded it for us in the Word. Isn't that beautiful? Because he knew that teaching them that we would have the same questions all this time later. We would go, but we don't get it. We don't understand. You know, I remember when I was a kid, they explained God like this. It's like an egg. An egg is an egg, but it has three different parts. The shell, the white part, and the yellow part, right? But it's all an egg. And I'm like, that's true. And each part of the egg has its own nutrients. There's different purposes for different parts of the egg. Did you know that you could put your egg shells into your garbage disposal and it actually cleans it? Right? It's good, right? Good to know. Did you know that if you want less calories, you're not going to put the yellow part of the egg into the pan and cook it for yourself? But if you do want that, right, there's different parts to each part of the egg. They all bring something to the table, but it's all one. And I thought, well, that I know that's so cheesy, and we could talk about God as an egg. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying God is an egg. But what I am saying is in our little minds, right, our human minds, we're going, well, how do we wrap our minds around this massive thing called God and all the ways that he does it? And so God is saying, let me show you. Jesus says, let me teach you that he's your helper, that he is all-knowing. So Jesus introduces us to the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will have all things, and that the Holy Spirit defeated Satan, the father of all lies. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And Satan is referred to in the world as the father of all lies. So do you see right there the spiritual battle already? So sometimes when you find yourself in a position that you're getting a lot of information, you just feel uneasy about it, you got to realize, what is speaking to me? Is it the father of lies or is it the Spirit of Truth? Okay? So pause, don't make a quick decision on something. Wait for a second and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to teach you, because he is our helper. So what does the helper teach us? We got three things the helper does for us. You guys want to learn what he does for you and how he does it? Number one, he teaches us. John 14:26. But the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, and the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name and in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. For some of you that are like, I'm losing my memory, things aren't going, things aren't the way they should be, I can't remember things, guess what? He is the one who can help us remember all things. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to start, pray over yourself, lay hands on your brain and be like, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to begin to remember things and not forget things. And ask the Holy Spirit to begin to speak faith over yourself. Begin to break through. Don't just accept those things as they are. Because see, he teaches us how to live a life without deception. Ooh, that's good. Because you know the saddest part about deception is you don't know you're deceived. That's the whole point of deception. You could probably think about a lot of people, you know, that you're like, ooh, yeah. I try and tell them, but they don't get it. That's because they're deceived. They have blinders on. But we as God's children, we have a direct connect to who he is. And when we ask the Holy Spirit how to do life, we're not going to live a life of deception. We're not going to live a life where something can tickle our ears and make us run one way and off the wrong path. We're going to say, no, I know what God's word says, and he's telling me to stay this course, so I'm going to do this. And we're going to be anchored in who he is. You see, he will teach us all things. He will help us to remember all things. And listen to this. I love this. It says, he teaches us how to live a life of no deception, like in the beginning with Eve. Ooh, think about Eve for a second. She had everything at her disposal. Everything. They had a relationship with God. They were friends. They hung out with Jesus and God in the garden. Can you imagine? And they did it naked, and it wasn't weird. Really? I wonder if she even had cellulite. I have all these questions. I'm like, I think that was after the fall. And so here's Eve. And she has this incredible relationship with God. But then Satan can come and tell her a lie, right? And then she so easily took it. What makes us think that we won't do the same? But when we stay close to the Holy Spirit, we keep him like anchored next to us, like if I could link arms and never let him go. Listen to me. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You can't let him go. He's there all the time. So go ahead and access his wisdom on your behalf and allow him to begin to teach you some things so that you're no longer deceived into what the world wants you to say or what the enemy has for you, the father of all lies that is trying to take you off your course and where God needs you to be, but you begin to press into who he is and what he wants for you. You see, the Holy Spirit will be the sounding board for you. Living in a life of faith with the Holy Spirit is leading us into life more abundantly. Did you know that he teaches us so that we can live a full life? I want to live a full life. Even in the midst of hell, even in the midst of people around me maybe dying and things going wrong and all of that, I want to still live a full life. I want to walk through war zones and know that nothing can touch me because I'm a soldier and I'm a daughter of the Most High God and I'm a walking vessel of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we begin to understand who lives on the inside of us, things begin to change. But yet we find ourselves, all of us are in different places and different walks in life. Some of us have different backgrounds than the girl next to you. And all of us have lived life differently. For me, when I came back to the Lord, I was a very broken person. I was in a relationship for 3 years. And in this relationship, it was a physical and a mental abuse. I always tell women that are abused, listen, the physical heals, the bruises heal. But the mental is what takes so much time to overcome and to turn over and to relearn and to figure out who you are. And the beautiful thing is that when you come to Jesus, he begins to take those broken places in your heart and in your mind. And he begins to say, let's put them back together one piece at a time. Let's show you that this was wrong thinking. This is what you were hearing about yourself, but this is not what I said about you. This is not who you actually are. Actually, I made you this way, so let's learn how to use it the right way for the kingdom and not the wrong way. You see, the Holy Spirit begins to put us back together like a beautiful puzzle, like a masterpiece of what he wanted us to originally be. When we step into who he is, he wants to teach us and heal us. You know, I would always say about myself, I am dumb, because I really felt dumb. And it was interesting. I was talking to my mother-in-law. She's a Breaking Free mentor, and so I use her a lot for me. And I just have a free mentor on my call. And I was talking with her just about some things, and she said to me, I think you need to write a letter. And I was like, what? She tells me that a lot. So I end up writing a lot of letters to different things, and it helps so much. But she told me, I need to write a letter to school. And I was like, school, you might not even remember this, Sue, but you did tell me that just randomly one day. And I went and I asked the Lord, what is she talking about? Like, is she crazy? You know, like, how do I write a letter to school? Like, and you know what the Lord told me? He said, yeah, let's talk about it. When you were in kindergarten, I was young, and my mom put me in school at the age of 4 because my birthday was right close to the cutoff date, 2 days. And I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing ever, kindergarten, right? But apparently the teacher thought, she is not doing good in this class. So she had a meeting with my mom, and all I know is the next day I was no longer in school anymore. And my mom did such a good job, the best she could. Honey, you get to be with me another year, and yay! And I'm like, I'm so bored at home. Like, I want to be there. I like crafts, and I want to do all that. And so I felt bad about myself at that point. And it just kept going. The Lord brought me to third grade when I was failing in math. And I had to call a tutor in for me in front of the whole class. And the whole class was like, oh, you're so dumb. You have to have a tutor. And the kids were just so mean about it and really pointed it out. And I was so embarrassed and ashamed that it wasn't clicking for me. And then he brought me back to high school when I was in biology, and I'm getting an F in biology. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And my teacher sat me down. He was amazing. I don't know if you remember him, Mr. Lloyd. And he sat with us and he worked with me. And my grade went from an F to an A because I had a teacher in my life who believed in me and who took time with me and told me, you are not stupid. You just got to focus. And I got an A in biology because of him. And now I love science, honestly. I love science because of it. And so I had to write these letters. And then the end of it was when I got to high school and I was ready to go into college, I had a full ride if I wanted to Oral Roberts University. So I'm telling the counselor this. And she says, well, you're too dumb to go to Oral Roberts University. And she said, you literally cannot go. Like, so you might as well just go to a junior college. And I was just like, oh, okay. And I was so defeated. And I just felt like, what a loser I am. And I would read, and I would have to read things 10 times. Does anybody else like that? And you still don't fully get it. And then, like, you know, I have my brother who doesn't read at all, and then he still knows everything in the book. And you're like, who are you? You suck. And so, like, you compare yourself, right? You compare yourself. And the Holy Spirit did a new work inside of me. And I remember sitting in college one day, and I remember beating myself up. I was sitting in one of those classes where they're like cool, and you, every kid thinks they're the coolest class, you know, because they're stadium seating. And we're talking about art history, and I'm like, I'm going to be a nurse because I am not doing ministry. Not going to be in church. Not doing it. I was like rebelling. And the Lord, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. So who told you to do this? Oh, well, I don't like this class. Yeah, it's because you were never supposed to be in this class. You were supposed to be in Bible college. Oh. So I walked out of that class that day. I met Dan a week later. We ended up 6 months later getting married. Then we went straight to Bible college 2 weeks afterwards. And I'll tell you, when I sat in Bible college, it was like I would read the Bible and it would just jump off of me. And I would get it. I would get it. I would understand it because the Holy Spirit was downloading things inside of me. He began to teach me things. And then I learned, hey, I'm not dumb. This is just the lies of the enemy. And my whole life he had been setting me up to think I was dumb. So my whole life he had been setting me up. My whole life. He works our whole lives to bring us lies. But yet the Holy Spirit is working on the other end, working our whole life to teach us, you're not dumb. You're beautiful. You're not ugly. Stop saying you're ugly. You're not this. You're not that. What label are you putting on yourself? Or what label are you walking in? Because that's what people have said about you. Listen, you do not have to live in the way that people see you. The way that they perceive you is not the truth about who you are. You go to the one, his name is Jesus, and you ask him, what is it about me that I've got to change? But what is it in me that you need me to build? What is it that you want to teach me about my personality since you gave it to me? You see, the teacher is on your side. He's on your side to build you up. He's on your side to teach you things. If you think you're dumb, you're not dumb. You have the smartest one in the whole entire world, the one that knows all truth living on the inside of you, the one that knows the beginning from the end living on the inside of you, the one who knows the beginning, the one who knows every hair you lost in the shower. That's just so mind-boggling to me, right? He lives on the inside of me. And guess what? He lives on the inside of you if you said yes to Jesus. So this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach us what is right and what is wrong. You're going to get things in your heart like, don't go there. Have you ever felt that? And have you ever done it anyways? Don't raise your hands. That's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do that. I'll tell my kids, when they do something dumb, I'm like, did you at first think you shouldn't have done that? Well, yeah. Okay, well, why did you keep doing it? Because everybody else was. Well, and you know, I thought I would never say this to my kids. Well, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you go jump off a cliff? And they're like, my kids always say, that's so dumb. Of course not. And I'm like, yeah, you say that now. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is there going, stop it. I feel like he's holding your arm back going, don't do it. Shut your mouth. Don't gossip about that person. Don't say those things about someone else. Or how about this? Don't you eat that. That's not good for your temple. I need you to eat what's right for your temple, right? Have you ever done that? And then you eat the cookies and you're like, I feel horrible. You see, maybe it's the Holy Spirit just nudging you and going, hey, stop it, stop it, stop it. I have this all the time. He bugs the junk out of me. And honestly, I feel like at times when he's teaching me, it's annoying. Does anyone else feel that way? I just called the Holy Spirit annoying. He's not happy with me right now. But it can be. It's like when mom is constantly writing you on something, right? And we all as women hate the word nagging, but we do nag. Hey, how come you're not picking your socks up? How come you guys just leave your stuff everywhere, right? Well, how about the Holy Spirit? How come you keep doing this? How come you keep saying these things? How come you're not changing your path? How come you're not starting a new reading plan? How come you're not doing what I told you to do a long time ago and you're avoiding it? You're avoiding it. You're avoiding it. You see, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us and he's going to push us and he's going to shape us and he's going to turn us into who we need to be as daughters of Christ, not citizens of this world, but citizens and kingdom dwellers of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is on a mission to keep us straight, man. I love that. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I would have known before something happened? Have you ever wondered, like, dang it? Or have you ever wondered, was the Holy Spirit trying to tell me something in that? So just the other day, something happened to me. We were at Luke's church. And it's a very small, small airport. Like, you can see through the glass. That's how small the airport is. The whole church, that we were telling them what time we were leaving. It was supposed to be a straight shot. I was supposed to be home by 2. I was going to pick my kids up from school. And I hear this story from Belinda. You guys remember Belinda? She was here. So they went up with Luke. And so Belinda's talking to me, and she's telling me that her son, Boy, actually came here when we went there. It was weird. It was like we passed each other in the airport. And she says, the weirdest thing happened to him yesterday. He gets to the airport an hour and 10 minutes before his plane. Now, if you know this airport, you don't have to do that because literally it's like walk on the airplane. And so she said, but as he's standing there trying to check in his stuff, he hears his name being called over the intercom. And we're like, what's happening? Well, they moved his flight up without telling him. So he's literally running, and he got on the airplane 2 minutes before they were going to let him on the airplane. And I thought, that's so messed up. They can't do that. That must be a weird fluke thing. Well, guess what? I think that was the Holy Spirit probably trying to give me a little warning, Jess, because Pastor Luke and us, were so tired, but the next day we were like, we want to have breakfast together. And so we went, we had breakfast together. And during breakfast, no joke, Luke and Dan both were like, Jess, what time does the plane leave? Are you sure we're leaving on time? Luke's like, why don't you just stay? Just stay another day. Just stay. And I'm like, I have to get home to my babies, Luke. I love you, but I'll be back in the summer. And so we're, I mean, I remember having these conversations. And I'm looking at my thing. It says 11:45, you leave, right? I'm looking at it over and over again. We get to the airport. We're 45 minutes early because everybody at church the day before said, oh, don't get there earlier than that. You just sit there and you do nothing. Like, so you might as well just go 45 minutes early. I said, okay. So we get there. Dan and Jessica Roth, paging Dan and Jessica Roth last time for last boarding call, da, da, da. We're like, what? So we're booking it. We're standing in line. There's a line, and there is the slowest lady at the thing, and she's the only one on the whole row. And I'm like, freaking small towns. And so, and I mean, I could feel it stirring up inside of me. I'm not thinking Holy Spirit at all. I'm thinking, get me on that plane. So I'm like, can we get in front of you? Because that's our name. They're calling us again. Can we? We're screaming at the lady. She will not look up, right? We're like, that's us. That's us. She's like. And so we're like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, this Californian is ready to jump over the counter and do it myself. And so I'm like, we're TSA pre-check. Like, all we got to do is just run through. Can you just take the bags? And she's like. Ignoring us. So finally, everybody in line is being kind, and they're like, please, go in front of us. You guys don't want to miss your plane. I'm like, thank you so much. Now, Luke told me they hate Californians. He did tell me this. And so he was like, do not tell them you're from California. Well, they see your driver's license. And so as soon as she saw her driver's license, she was like, should have been here 2 hours early. And I was like, I'm going to come at her. Like, over that. San Bernardino is about to come out. I'm going to take my chancla off and beat her over the head. Like, so Dan could see me. He could see me. He was like, he grabs my arm. Dan always grabs my arm. And I'm like, well, you know, the whole town told us to be here 45 minutes early because we just sit here and I can see the airplane. The door's open. I know the laws. So like, you can still let me on the airplane. And she's like, yeah, well, you should have been here 2 hours early. I'm like, okay. Well, can you just call them and let them know we're here and we're running through? And she's like, hold on. So she's like slow like molasses. I had to repent for that. She was slow, man. And so she's like, Julie? Oh, yeah, I'll get him a new flight. Not even nothing. Didn't plead our case, nothing. I was like, give me the phone, call Julie back. And she was like, should have been here 2 hours early. At that point, I was like, you are being rude. Don't say it again. And Dan was like, oh, she poked the bear. Like, so then I realized I'm pissed, okay? I am like, I want to be with my babies today. Like, there's nothing like being home with your babies, right? So I decide I need to calm down because the pastor just pulled up a little bigger. The Holy Spirit said, knock it off. You're acting stupid. These could be people from Luke's church. Crap. All right. So I take my phone and I go over and I'm like, Luke, what is going on? So I'm calling my brother. He's like, oh, yay, good. You get to just stay another day. I'm like, I am not staying in your house. Like, you have too many people living with you. And so he's like, fine. And he's like, I'm looking it up right now, Jess. They totally did change the flight plan. Like, you could see them changing the times and they weren't telling us. And he's like, that's messed up. They should not be able to do that. So then I'm like, okay, well, just pray we at least get a flight. So they get us into Portland. And anyways, by 10 o'clock at night, we finally get home. I mean, we are fried. I'm irritated. I'm driving home. And I was like, was Belinda's story about boy coming and missing his flight? That was probably the Holy Spirit telling me to get there 2 hours early. So guys, listen to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes he's trying to tell you in so many different ways because he doesn't want you to have a bad day and lose your temper and totally not act godly, right? And then have to get on the airplane later and repent all by yourself when you're alone in the seat like, oh, please forgive me. That was so rude. I called her molasses and I was really mad at her. Like, that was what happened. So don't do as I do. Do as the Holy Spirit does, okay? But take the takeaway from this is the Holy Spirit leads us supernaturally into all truth. I love that. And he lets us know what is coming. Isn't that cool? That you don't have to know what's around the corner, but the Holy Spirit knows what's around the corner. And he's going to lead you to that. The Holy Spirit is active and he's working with us here on this earth. God the Father and Jesus are in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is in us, working and guiding us and speaking to us. The different ways, write this down, different ways you can hear from the Holy Spirit. One is you could be in prayer and he could speak to your heart. You could be in church and you're listening to the pastor and it's like, oh, that's exactly a word for me. I receive that. Maybe a prophet comes along the way and gives you a word. Maybe you're reading in the Bible and the Bible is just speaking exactly what you're going through and it's answering your prayers. Maybe you have signs, visions, or dreams and you know that's just God speaking to you and getting your attention. See, he's always speaking to us everywhere because he's trying to teach us from him to us and in our spirit man. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to leave ourselves out there with nothing to do. I love that. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to teach us. Number two, he guides us. He tells us what is going to happen. He checks our life. I'm sorry, I mixed it all up, but they're really kind of the same thing. He teaches us and he guides us. So write those two things down because we're running out of time anyways. He teaches us and he guides us. I'm going to use this verse for guiding. John 16:13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come. You have a direct connection to God himself, God the Father. Isn't that amazing? You're never going to get the wrong advice with the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful, isn't it? I love that. I was talking to a police officer just recently, actually just this week, and he was telling me that when he goes out, he told me about the story that there was this guy that was going to cause a lot of problems, and he walked by this guy, and he just had this like, ugh, something's not right. This guy's acting sketchy. So he kind of stepped back, and he was watching him, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to stop that before it starts. And he was like, okay. So he went and approached the guy. Hey, how are you? What's your name? Just kind of tried to get some information from him. And sure enough, he intercepted. This guy turned into a big old thing. And this guy, though, turned out to be armed. There were like a whole bunch of plans that he had. He literally intercepted something that could have been very, very bad. And he said, this happens to me all the time on the job. And he goes, the guys on the police force say, oh, it's just your gut. It's your gut, man. You got like that extra gut, like instinct. And he's like, no. It's the Holy Spirit that leads me on my job and takes me where I need to go. He guides me to where I need to be. You see, you could take the Holy Spirit with you everywhere you need to go. You will not be alone at school. You will not be alone at work. You will not be alone in your home. You will not be alone on the bus or the transit. You will not be alone because he is always with you and he's guiding you. He wants the best for you. I love that the Lord is just doing something incredible in our lives. Okay, so let me see here. He also does this because I'm running out of time. I know you guys get mad at me when I take your table time. Don't write me a letter. I don't want it. Okay. Sorry. See, he convicts. He convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts. John 16:5-9. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. So they're sad because Jesus is leaving. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the Helper, which we now know is the Holy Spirit, right, guys, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I love verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. In these verses, the Holy Spirit is saying that in these three areas, sin, righteousness, and judgment is where he convicts. Jesus is the one Jesus is not the one throwing down the gavel. He's already done that. And let me tell you why. He did it with Satan, the father of all lies. He's already sentenced him and convicted him and judged him and deemed him not a victor, not worthy of the call, not worthy to be able to speak, but yet he is the father of all lies. And so God knows who he is. He already put him in his place. But the Holy Spirit has come to persuade us. What? See, conviction is first, it means to convince. Ooh, wait a second. That means the Holy Spirit wants to convince us of something. So then we are convicted of it and we repent and we turn to Christ, right? How did we get saved? I was convicted of my sin. And then he convinced me that, yes, you are in sin. I was convicted, and then I repented. I said, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me of these things. Then he washed me clean, and I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit comes to convict, but he persuades us. It's beautiful. We need a Savior, but we cannot accept him if we are not first convicted or convinced of our sin. This conviction brings us to a place of repentance. This is the Holy Spirit's job. What a big job. He's got a lot of us to deal with, right? And think about all the world out there that he wants to get saved, that he needs to bring them to a place of conviction and then to convince them that they need Jesus Christ. He also convicts of righteousness, which means right standing with God. This is not the meaning that we aren't, but that we are. So easy for us to say we aren't. So easy for you to beat yourself up and say, I'm not the righteousness of God. Have you ever heard that said about yourself? Have you ever felt like maybe I'm acting self-righteous or maybe this or that? How about you are? You are righteous. You said yes to Jesus. You are now at right standing with God. Isn't that a cool story? Well, the Holy Spirit is right there to say, knock it off. You are in right standing. Because the enemy is going to try and take you out of that position. Going to try, the father of all lies is going to take you and remove you from what is already yours. What you've already had power over. What is already the victory. You're already God's daughter. And so when the enemy comes to say, no, you're not in right standing with Christ. The Holy Spirit says, yes, she is. Knock it off. She maybe had a hard time today. Or she didn't do things right. But she knows how to deal with that. Get away. She's at right standing. And then we go and talk to the Father and we say, please forgive us. I didn't say things right, or I didn't handle this right, or I didn't do this right. You see, we are in right standing with God, which means the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he's reminding us that when we said yes to God and asked Jesus to come into our hearts and be the Lord and Savior of our life, that he was to dwell with us. This means that we are in right standing with God. Today, you are in right standing with God because Jesus came and he died and he became that for you and I, that we could be at right standing because he went and sat at the right hand of the Father. He took it for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Beautiful, isn't it? The Holy Spirit guides us. He teaches us. He convicts us, but he convicts us also in judgment. This is over the ruler of the world, not you. Did you know that? You are not judged any longer. You have been redeemed. That you brought your sins before the Lord. You are now washed pure, clean, and holy. The one who is judged is Satan, and he has already gone before God. He has already deemed him, and he has been executed, and he knows the end of this story, guys. Satan knows the end. So he's trying to take as many with him as he can before that time comes. You see, judgment over the world. The word talks about Satan many times in these verses. That the Holy Spirit is to convince us that the ruler of this world has been judged and sentenced and has no power over you and I. John 6:11 says, a judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. That's talking about Satan. So when we want to remember our sin and that we are in right standing with God, the accuser wants to come and bring judgment on you. Have you ever had that? You just feel so judged. You feel so judged. You just feel, but God is saying, stop it, daughter. You're at right standing. The judged one is Satan. He's the one. You are not. Now listen, the Holy Spirit does come to convict us. So many times when I got on that airplane, he was like, you called her molasses. I was like, that was rude. Okay, please forgive me, God. Like, seriously, so wrong. Right? Because he's going to check our hearts. He's going to convict us of things. Hey, you said too much in that meeting. You probably shouldn't have said that much. You need to go back and make it right. Or how about you were really rude to your husband today. And that's not coming under mission. That's not covering him with love. That is exposing him. I need to go make that right. You see, he convicts us of those things and gets us back into the right standing place with Christ. But it's not a conviction that brings judgment on us and sends us to hell. That's only for Satan himself. Jesus came to convict the world and to bring us into right standing and remind us of our position with God. See, the Holy Spirit is our helper and he loves us. So when you want to remember your sin, girls, because he's really good at that. Have you ever been just driving and you remember the stupid things you've done? I don't know, maybe it's just me. But I do. Like, I'll drive and I'll be like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? And I just beat myself up and my brain goes there. When that happens, remember, tap into what the Holy Spirit says. Wait, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say about this? He'll either convict you and tell you how to make it right, or he's going to remind you, no, that was already taken care of. You already apologized. It's already done. You need to just step into the right standing with Christ. You are a righteousness of Christ. When the accuser wants to bring you judgment for something that you've already done, you just remember him that you are not judged, but you are forgiven. And that the Holy Spirit will always guide you back to this, that you are in a position as a child of God, the Most High. The greater one that lives in you, his name is the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He's here to help you every step of the way. And that's just the beginning of what we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit. Just a little glimpse of him being our helper. Did you get something from the word today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.